WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Good afternoon, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Yes, the end of the week has embarked upon us once again. So glad you could close it out with us here on Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have so much to talk about here on today's show, including Calvin Megatron Johnson. Yes, he now has an action figure. I'm not joking, folks. I am not kidding. And deservingly so. I mean, sometimes watching him on the field is like looking at a superhero, right? Just redonkulous stuff. We'll also tell you about a couple of Oakland basketball players who find themselves in a bit of trouble. And we'll also get you ready for the weekend sporting action by talking MSU and VA Tech basketball tonight, MSU and Northwestern football tomorrow, and of course the Lions will be in action this Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And since it's Friday, you know that we are taking your calls throughout this entire show and getting your thoughts and predictions on any, yes, any of the weekend sporting action. If you give us a call, 517-355-9527, you will automatically be entered in our drawing to win two MSU home football tickets to the last home game of the season at Spartan Stadium against Minnesota. That will be taking place on November 30th. Give us a call and give us a game prediction. It's simple, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And did you catch Current Sports TV last night? Well, if you didn't, I sat down with former MSU and pro running back Todd T.J. Duckett. Yes, Todd and I talked about everything from what he misses about the game of football to his philanthropic work to even a discussion on how athletes go broke. Yes, broke throughout their playing careers. If you missed it, we'll be playing it here on the show later on, so just hang tight. But in the meantime, I have the privilege of welcoming a man to Current Sports who has led his team to quite a season. Damon Rensing is the head coach of the MSU soccer team. The team made it to the Big Ten Championship game last weekend, coming up just short to Indiana, a 1-0 loss there. But they now set their eyes on the NCAA tournament, folks. They earned a first-round bye, an 11-seed in the tourney, and will be hosting Louisville on Sunday at 1 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. You know that Current Sports will be in the house. Can't wait for that one. Michigan State will be making its 16th, yes, 16th NCAA tournament appearance in school history, and 6th in the last 7 years. Damon is making his 4th appearance in 5 seasons at the helm of the Spartans. Damon, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Great, man. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
No problem. First of all, Damon, let's just talk about the excitement. We're talking about the NCAA tournament. You're in the second. You are in the first round bye. In the tournament, though, you guys play this Sunday. Talk about the excitement and that moment looking at Michigan State's name come across the board during the selection show.
It was awesome. You know, I talk about it. There's 207 teams in Division I soccer, and they're all trying to get one of those 48 spots. That's the ultimate goal. And when you see that you're one of that 48, it never gets old. It never gets old, whether it's your 4th in 5 years or your first time. And just to see our guys' faces get excited and know that we had a bye and we're hosting at DeMartin Stadium was awesome.
That had to be one incredible moment. And for you as a coach, Damon, I mean, how humbling is it for you to see what you've done with this program and to see these young men, you know, come to light now in the NCAA tournament? I mean, talk about how humbling that is. That's got to be a humbling thing for you as head coach.
It is. It's, you know, there's a lot of history here at Michigan State soccer. Teams have won national championships. They've been to Final Fours. You know, I played here for 4 years and never had the privilege of participating as a player in the NCAA tournament. So to have these guys to compete together with, to coach and work with towards a common goal is quite humbling, and we've got a great group this year.
Damon, I got to ask you, because before we just took the air just now, I want to ask you about getting that first round bye. Is it a good thing getting the first round bye or resting up, or would you like to carry that momentum of constant play and playing in the first round? What is the philosophy behind that?
Well, there's probably two, and I think they'll both come out in the game come Sunday. You know, we played 3 really tough games in 5 days for the Big Ten tournament, so we certainly could use the rest, that's for sure. And so I think we'll welcome the bye. However, I think Louisville will have a little bit of advantage early on in the game because they played in that first game last night. They got the kind of the kinks out and the And so they'll be kind of ready to go, and we'll have to maybe feel a little thing, few things out early on the game. As the game goes on, I think it starts to become more of our advantage because we're rested. Mm-hmm. They played a two double overtime game Thursday night, and so that's where I think there's good and bad with both of it. And
well, they went to double overtime.
Double overtime, they won in penalty kicks, I think 4-3 against a very good Denver team.
Wow. So I'm sure you were glued to your television watching that game. What did you see from that team, and what do you expect from them on Sunday?
Right. Yeah, we watched it live stream. They're a very good team. They've had a lot of tournament experience as a program. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite as much with their current team. They've got some very good attacking players. The Harrison kid and Velasco are their two kind of forwards, central attacking, and the Brody kid out wide are very good. They're really, really well balanced, well coached, and so it'll be a very tough, close game.
What's the key for you guys? If there's any chink in the armor that you guys must improve on coming into this matchup on Sunday, Damon, what's it got to be? What do you guys must do this Sunday to come out with the W?
Well, I think there's a few things. You know, we got to the Big Ten Tournament Championship game only giving up one goal. So we had shutouts. So defense wins championships. It doesn't matter what sport you're in.
Right.
That truism holds court. But I think restarts are always important. You know, corner kicks, we've been very dangerous on them, not giving them up a lot of times in these tournament games. It can come down to a play like that, scoring on a corner kick or defending one at the end of the game. So I think that'll be important. And then I think our guys just really just focus. Don't be Superman. Just focus on doing what got us here, playing your role, doing what you've done to get us to this 12 seed throughout the year.
You know, Coach, I want to talk about this team and you know, compare it to other teams you coached in the past. This season, what do you think makes this year's team so special compared to others you've had in the past? And what's the identity of this year's 2013 MSU men's soccer team?
Well, I think this is a mature team. I think we've been able, you know, through our course of the last few years, this is a team that combines talent. I think it's got good leadership, and it's got also some maturity. So we've had guys like Kevin Cope who are, you know, good leaders, very talented, but, you know, was maybe a sophomore or junior. Now he's a fifth-year senior. You know, that maturity, I think, can go a long way. You know, Ryan Keener is a fourth-year junior. You know, we've got Ryan Thalen, who's a local kid from Mason, Michigan.
Yeah, I remember covering Ryan.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, he's a fifth-year senior left back. So we've got some mature players that have been in a lot of tough games and tough situations. And so hopefully that'll hold true and come out to fruition here this weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, I am talking with the man in charge of the team that will be playing in the NCAA tournament this Sunday at DeMartin Stadium, 1 p.m. against Louisville. Damon Rensing, he's the head coach of the MSU men's soccer team. So, Damon, when you talk about the expectations for this team coming into this season, did you ever think you'd be sitting here talking about the tournament? Have they exceeded those expectations or met them? What were those expectations coming into this season?
Well, one of our goals is always, we said, let's put ourselves in a position to challenge for the Big Ten Championship. And that's one of the best conferences in college soccer. Mm-hmm. So if you put yourself in a position to challenge it, which we did, unfortunately came up a little short, but you're going to make the NCAA tournament most likely. And I think, yeah, this was our expectation to be here. You know, we talk about it all year, though. You know, we're at a point where we don't want to just be in these games. Players come to Michigan State now to win these games. And so that's what we're planning on doing. It'll be very difficult, you know, especially the game of soccer. You can play well and lose. Mm-hmm. You can get outplayed and win. So, I think with this team and what we had, we expect to be in the NCAA tournament, and we expected to play a very good team like a Louisville in a second-round game.
You know what? I got to ask coaches this. In a moment this big, when you're in the NCAA tournament right now, a huge moment for this program and for this, you know, just mid-Michigan in general, right. You as the coach, Damon, I know you got a speech, you know, planned. What are you going to tell this team Sunday before that game? Do you plan out your speeches, or are you just speaking from the heart?
A little bit of both, you know. you know, I think one of the things that we always talk about is just, you know, we've got 7 starters from the state of Michigan. Yeah. So we're always representing the state of Michigan. We're always representing Michigan State University. We're always representing the Big Ten Conference. And when you get in these national tournaments, we want to represent all of them and have a lot of pride about doing that. So that's certainly one of the things we'll talk about. And again, it'll be, I think you don't have to say a whole lot in these games. They'll be ready, you know. And one of the things, the other thing I always talk about is, you know, you've got to play on that edge, you know, but you got to be able to relax and execute. And that's right. One of the things that the guys will have to do today. So some games I got to you know, throw chairs up against the wall to get them fired up. This won't be one of those days, you know. This won't be one of those
days. Have you
done that before? No, not figuratively speaking, but no. But this won't be one of those days. I'll walk in that locker room, I'll look in their eyes, and they'll be ready to go.
They'll be ready to go. I mean, I can just imagine. Now, you as a coach, have you been losing any sleep these past few nights just preparing? I know you must have, right?
No, you're always thinking, you go to bed thinking about lineups and what's Louisville going to do or what's Denver going to do at the time, and you're just constantly thinking, and you wake up and you start thinking it again. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Senseless TV is what kind of puts me to bed at night. I got to watch some stupid reality TV or something, like some NFL football or something, to just get my mind to zone out and fall asleep.
So you're a reality TV guy. What do you watch? I'm curious. Because you know what? No one knows this about me. I'm going to say it right now. I'm a closet reality TV freak. I don't like saying it, but I am, folks. Okay? I got to ask you, Damon. What do you watch, man?
Well, once in a while, I'll watch a little... The Kardashians with my wife.
Get out of here. Yeah, you're a Kardashian guy.
Yeah, I don't know about my guy, but I'm a guy who loves his wife and will watch that with
her.
Okay, gotcha. So, but then just a lot, we'll watch a lot of just some of the shows, actually, the series is, you know, the Person of Interest and those types of shows. We'll DVR it, and then at night, once we get the kids to bed, I'll try to zone out and fall asleep to that.
Good stuff. Is that, you know, that kind of stuff takes your mind off things. I'm a big Love and Hip Hop Atlanta guy.
Okay.
I don't tell anybody. Well, and now the world knows. I'm on the radio talking about this now. But, all right. Well, Damon, I want to ask you before I let you go, what players on this team has really impressed you and exceeded your expectations? What just name some players and some names on your team that really just said, wow, you didn't think they would be here right now.
Right. Well, the couple of guys that we thought we would definitely be able to, Cope and Ryan Keene, are our two center backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our goalkeeper from Dallas, Texas, hopefully he'll be able to battle the cold come Sunday, but I know he will. Zach Bennett is only a sophomore, and he's stepped up. And I think you look at our two center midfielders who are juniors and a sophomore, but Jay Chapman's really come on. He's a player who played on the Canadian U-17 national team. He had a very good tournament. And then our defensive mid, Fatai Alashay from Northville, those guys have really stepped up and been good. Tim Kreutz, who's our forward, our leading goal scorer, he had some injuries the last couple of years, and he's really come on. So it's a great group, and those are some of the guys I would definitely be keeping an eye on if you're out at the game on Sunday.
I tell you what, Damon, win or lose this Sunday, whatever happens, just say, you know, you guys go out there and they play hard throughout the entire game. How pleased will you be with this season?
It'll probably be one of those where I think, you know, we'll be disappointed after the game on Sunday. But when you step back and look at, we play one of the toughest schedules in the country. I mean, we went on the road this year and won at Marquette, who's the 9 seed. We tied at Akron, at Creighton. We won at Indiana, who are the defending national champs. Won at Northwestern. So I think when you look at back at the body of work what this team's done, regardless of what happens on Sunday, we'll be very proud. We battled through some injuries, and these guys have been a great group.
If you could sum it up in one word right now, what would that word be and why?
Anxious.
Why anxious?
I'm just anxious to I'm anxious for 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. I'm just anxious to get the ball rolling and playing.
There you go. Well, there you have it. Damon, I wish you all the luck in the world. Thanks so much for joining me. We got to have you on soon, all right?
Anytime. We appreciate you having us.
No problem. There you have it. Head soccer coach of the MSU soccer team. They take on Louisville this Sunday, 1 p.m., DeMartin Stadium. You do not want to miss that. The second round of the NCAA tourney. Damon, good luck, brother. Good luck. We will be there. Well, we'll return to Current Sports. If you missed Current Sports TV last night, you are in for a treat. Sat down with former MSU and pro running back Todd T.J. Duckett. You don't want to miss that. And we'll remind you all, we're going to call in and give us a game prediction on any of the weekend sporting action taking place. I mean, you got so much. You got MSU soccer, of course, happening on Sunday. You got MSU and Northwestern on the gridiron. The Spartans in New York tonight on the hardwood. The Lions. I could go on and on. Call in 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back. Hey, now, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. If you're just now tuning in, you just missed a great interview with Damon Rensing. He is the head MSU men's soccer coach. And folks, they are in the second round of the NCAA tournament. After getting a first round bye, they will be taking on Louisville. Spartans are an 11th seed. Louisville this Sunday at 1 p.m. DeMartin Stadium. Current Sports will be there. You do not want to miss this. They have had one incredible season. They actually made it to the Big Ten Championship game this past weekend, taking on Indiana, in which they lost 1-0. But they got there nonetheless. They have a special team. Damon hoping to pull off one thrilling victory this Sunday. Again, Current Sports will be there. Definitely look forward to that. Also remind you all that since it's Friday, as custom here on Friday, we are taking your calls and getting your game predictions on any of the weekend sporting action. Of course, MSU soccer is going on Sunday. The Lions take on the Buccaneers on Sunday. MSU and Northwestern hit the gridiron tomorrow. MSU and VA Tech, they will be in New York, Brooklyn, New York, playing on the hardwood tonight. So much going on. If you call in and give us any thoughts and predictions on any of that weekend action, you will automatically be entered in a chance to win two MSU home football tickets to MSU's last home football game of the season at Spartan Stadium on November 30th at the Spartans take on Minnesota. If you want a chance to win two tickets, call in 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. In the meantime, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, I sat down with former MSU and pro running back great Todd T.J. Duckett. His name is unforgettable when you talk about Michigan State football, a star at the running back position. He was drafted to the NFL in 2002 and played for the Falcons, Redskins, Lions, and the Seahawks. I first had to ask Todd what he misses the most about the game of football.
The thing I miss the most is probably the locker room, the camaraderie. Being able to go and have 53 guys all want a goal, coming from different backgrounds, being able to have fun in the locker room, talk about practice, talk about the good things you did, the bad things you did. But, I mean, that's like your brothers. It was a band of brothers in that room, and it's something that you don't have when you go home and it's your wife and kid in there. Exactly. Locker room's a little different.
It's a little different. It's not a locker room. Yeah. It's totally different, yeah. I can imagine. Now, you probably still keep in touch with, you know, certain teammates, though, right?
I do. I do. And you build a bond. You build a relationship. I don't keep in touch with a lot of guys.
Right.
But there are a handful that, especially ones that have moved on into their post-career and what they're doing now in life and having some of the same similarities, some of the same issues we both have to overcome. So, yeah, we definitely still have that support system with each other.
Todd, something so interesting about you, the Duckett name, I should say, is that your brother, yeah, Tico, actually, he was a running back as well from Michigan
right.
State.
He was all right, right?
Yeah, he was pretty good, right?
He was all right.
From 89, I believe, to 92.
Yes.
And then he got drafted by the Redskins. And you guys have a, you know, kind of a gap in between you guys,
yeah,
as far as age
years,
goes.
11 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, you were kind of looking up to him,
yeah,
you know, when you were younger, right?
Well, I mean, the big thing is what he did coming to Michigan State and then being able to play professional, you see people on TV, but this is your brother. So it's not like it's a mythical character.
Right.
I know your mom. I know your dad. I know kind of how you... So I could see that if you put in certain work and you do what it takes, you can do this. And being your brother, being family, I mean, my friends would come over and try to get an autograph. And at the time, I mean, why would you want his autograph?
It's my brother.
But they're like, have his jersey, bringing extra footballs over him when they spend the night. I mean, but seeing that, it made you say that, yeah, anything's possible.
Definitely. Now, what was some advice he gave you when you started to really become a force there on the gridiron and got drafted? What advice did he give you going into the NFL?
Run hard. Continue to run. I think the biggest advice, though, isn't necessarily what people see. It's the work you put in. It's the. I mean, I remember as a kid, he would come home from Christmas break, even spring break, and by the time I get up, he's already put miles in, he's already ran, he's already lifted, already got his workout in on his days off.
Wow.
And so seeing that, and as I got to college and I could see how guys got bigger, faster, stronger, and then you go to that next level, I mean, you have to handle your business. It's not about what you see on Sunday. It's not about, you know, college Saturday. The work's already done. That's just the show. That's just time to people sit back, watch popcorn, and get excited. But all the things you do leading up to that moment, I mean, that's what it's about.
I love that, man. That's just such a great message. Now, for you, Todd, I got to ask, between you and Tico, who do you think's the better running back?
Me?
You the better running
back? Yeah, without a doubt. No, I'm going to tell you, Tico, I stayed here 3 years. He stayed here four.
Yeah.
I think he's second or third all time in school history. But, big but.
Okay.
If he would have stayed only three, then I would have had more yards than him by like 100.
So you've done the math.
And like one more touchdown.
You've done the math on this. That is hilarious. That is hilarious. So, all right, Todd, now you go to the NFL. Again, you play with four teams. Mm-hmm. I got to ask you, because it's something we discussed also on the radio show Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. WKRAM at 70. Got to put that plug in there.
That was smooth.
You see that? You like that,
this
right?
Guy's smooth.
I try. Todd, for
it
you.
Looks good, too.
Stop it, man. Stop it. Todd, talking about, you know, because on the radio show, we talked about the lifestyle that athletes live.
Yeah.
So many athletes, you know, in light of the whole ESPN 30 for 30 broke documentary, really opened my eyes to it. So many professional athletes go broke. I mean, Allen Iverson, I could go on and on.
Sure.
For you, what was the key to staying financially stable and level-headed in the NFL? And talk about the lifestyle you guys
That
live.
Rumor was the not figure out how not to be one of those guys. But it's real. I mean, it's a whole another thing. It's a different set of options you've ever been put in front of you, different set of choices. And a lot of guys never had experience making those choices, mm-hmm. being put in these situations. I mean, again, you only dream about these things. And all of a sudden, you look up one day, and it's like looking at you in the face.
Right.
And, I mean, they're real-life decisions. And guys, they don't have that type of support from the beginning. I mean, a lot of times, this is the biggest check you've ever received, maybe the biggest check anyone in your family's ever received. So you don't have any practice with that. The best thing for me, again, is having an older brother who lived that life, mm-hmm. made the crossover into the business world, understanding what investments are, seeing all these things. So just like I saw an NFL player, this is realistic, I'm seeing a post-NFL career saying, wow, this is going to be over at some point. No matter how good you are, there is going to be something that needs to be done when this is over. And what type of plan is that? How are you setting up with that? And the big thing, when he started Duckett Brothers Distributing, me investing in that company and being a part of that and us running it together. Now, as the end of my career, I mean, it's 2 days and I'm like struggling, neck hurts. I'm thinking, man, do I need to be in Duckett Brothers Distributing or out here running these 40s?
Exactly. Decisions, so
it just, you had options now. Yeah. And to be able to now say, I don't need to play the game of football. There's other things I can do with my life. That was huge for me.
So seeing that example, I'm pretty sure Tico was a huge mentor of yours.
And I mean, you think about it. How many NFL players, let's just say, maybe even college, do you know that have gone and achieved that success in the next life? I mean, once they hang up the jersey, a lot of times you don't even forget about them.
Right.
A new guy's wearing that number. I mean, they just kind of drift off into the abyss.
That's so true.
But now, I mean, there are starting to be more and more players who are leading at that example.
Talk about the lifestyle now, Ty.
Lifestyle, it's
What's
real.
What's a night out? Okay, you're done. You go. You score 5 touchdowns.
I mean,
you're going a night on the town. What happens after that?
A lot.
Give me an example. Take me a night on the town with Todd Duckett back then.
I mean, back then, I mean, you know, a lot of guys' pay scale is different. So, mm-hmm. I mean, being a first-round draft choice and being a free agent, thing you have a little more leeway.
Right, I'm sure.
You do have the friends that hang out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can think of a time when I was in Atlanta, made some money. I'm 21 years old, 22 years old. Got a bunch of friends, had a great game, Monday night game, all that.
Monday night, baby.
And, I mean, again, now you go from Kalamazoo, Michigan, for me, for example, now you're in Atlanta, and you walk into a major establishment that's a big city, and, I mean, all eyes turn to you now. And it's like, okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to drink? Who do you want to meet? And it's like, oh, I dreamed of it. Now you're handing me the menu and saying, pick what you want. And I can afford it.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, it's nothing's out of reach.
Right.
I mean, so that starts to kind of, I mean, really messes with your head. And I mean, it's things you see on TV. I can think of like Entourage, the TV show.
It's like that.
I mean, yes, it's real. And you have to make these decisions. And guys that don't have a support system or some type of root, they get lifted up and thrown over here. And I mean, there were times when I would wake up and be like, I wasn't raised like this. This is different. I wasn't. And I mean, that's what, again, being able to stray for a while and then have people who really mean something to you, you know, reel you back in and you know, sit you down and,
yeah,
you know,
you mentor
need,
you, a
you need to get
bit.
Some sleep, man. You ain't slept in a while. I
exactly.
mean, stuff like that. And I mean, it's, everyone doesn't have that. In that spotlight, they think you know everything.
Yeah.
People think he knows what he's fine. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, I mean, he may still show up for practice, may still handle your business on Saturday, but inside it's a different character that's being built.
Wow, unbelievable stuff. Well, I tell you what, since you've, you know, retired now and gone on to do other things,
yeah.
one of those things is New World
yes.
Flood. Talk
yes.
about that for a second.
It's my nonprofit, New World Flood. A single raindrop is the beginning of a flood, flooding the world through giving and service. And what it's about, it's creating a new me. When I stopped playing, I went through a depression for about 2.5 years. Just what is my purpose? What is life about to me? Am I just a football player? Do I have other options that I can add value to this world? And in that time, I realized how important volunteering was. Giving, serving of your time. Putting
right.
your time out there. It's not writing a check. It's not finding someone else to do it. It's you actually going and volunteering and doing something that matters to you. So in that time, I created a new me. I found a new passion, which is why I go by Todd now. And so it's a new world. It's a new me. It's a new whole way of thinking. It's not the mm-hmm. night after the game. It's the waking up and how can I improve others' lives today. That's the mentality. And the flood, I call myself the rainmaker because a single raindrop is the beginning of a flood. So one person, one act of kindness, that's one raindrop of energy. That's one raindrop of purpose going and doing something. Now you get
right.
two of them, you get three of them. Now you've created a flood of giving and service in your community. And if I can go and I can motivate a child, motivate an adult to do something in their community, now I'm creating rain, and if I get a bunch of them, we got a flood coming.
Got a flood, baby. Hey, give it up for that. That's a great message.
Yeah, guys. Appreciate it.
That is great stuff. And Todd, when did it hit you that, you know, philanthropic work like this is something you wanted to embark upon?
Yeah, it hit me because, I was lost, man. I mean, I had everything I wanted in the world. I had everything. You know, finances, friends, good friends, all of the above.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And I wasn't happy. I mean, I wasn't happy. I was just lost. And just, I did a lot of research. I really dug into amazing people in this world that made a difference. The Martin Luther Kings, the Malcolm X's, Gandhi's, Mother Teresa. And just, so you're telling me that you gave your life for the world? Why? That's amazing. Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And you did it because you wanted to. And then seeing that, and seeing how much you can affect a person's life just from a simple hello or just from holding the door open. I mean, a lot of people are going through some things in this world, especially in Michigan. And
right.
to be able to brighten someone's day, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you have something to do in life. And I just kind of just got, just like I had that passion when I was playing football and I can work out for hours.
Yeah.
It became, how many people can I affect today? How many lives can I change today? And it just went from one thing to the next. And I mean, the sky is endless if you want to really be a servant.
That is so inspirational, Todd. I tell you what, you got two more seconds, man. We're going to let the 12th man get
yeah,
at you. You ready?
Yeah,
let's
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere because the 12th man starts right now. All right, well, it is time for the 12th man, where we hear from our live studio audience here at WKAR Studios, and they're going to throw some questions at you right now, Todd. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's
you ready,
it.
Man? Well, here we go. First question comes from Sam. Sam, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports, and what's your question?
My question, you think that the bullying investigation in the NFL is an overreaction?
That's a great question, Sam, actually.
It's a very good question.
It is. You know, I really haven't followed. I don't watch much TV, and I really haven't followed it a whole lot. Just from playing, when I was playing, there a lot happens in the locker room. And, I mean, this is, now you got the media in it. And, you know, so I just, it's different in there. And I really don't know much about the scenario.
I gotta ask you something. Does rookie hazing go on? Well, does it go too far?
Well,
I know it happens.
I've never been in locker rooms I've been in. I've heard it was pretty extreme what's been going on in Miami.
Right.
But I've never, the worst thing you get is carrying someone's shoulder pads, bringing breakfast before the game.
So you've had to do that?
Yeah.
Pay for any meals?
Sometimes if rookies have to go and you got a rookie night out and, So that might contribute to some of the spending.
Right, right.
But other than that, I mean, you have heated arguments which lead to fights in the field, in practice. I mean, that's part of having grown men in a hot environment and tempers. But when I played, there was never any other issues.
Mm-hmm. Just little stuff.
You got grown adult young men. And I mean, it is what it is. And but like I heard it's crazy. I've been picking up some stuff, but I haven't truly followed it. So sorry, I can't give you the most in-depth answer, but that's what I know from my experience.
Well, great question. Get up for Sam. Good question, man.
Great question.
Good stuff. All right, David, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports, and what's your question?
My question for you, Mr. Duckett, is when you came to Michigan State, was there any family pressure on you to come here after the success of your brother?
Good question. No, not necessarily. I almost went to UCLA. That was probably my second choice. The biggest thing that really kept me here was my mother was fighting cancer at that time. And so by fighting cancer and going through what she was going through, I kind of wanted to be at least close. I loved Nick Saban. I mean, he was a huge reason why I came to school here. And, it was a great choice for me.
Why is that? What made Nick so...
Look at him. Yeah. I mean, he was the same guy here that he, I mean, if he would have stayed here and been able to continue to mold, I mean, me personally, I mean, I was a freshman. I only got to play one season with him and then was gone. I can just imagine personally being with him because the game of football teaches you so much for the life after. And Nick Saban, he gets these young men, 18, 19-year-olds, so into. Imagine having a locker room full of 18, 19-year-olds, and you get and some of the best players in the country, right. And you get them to be unselfish and all on the same page, right. And then they go and can do a common goal and to win a championship versus other great teams. And I mean, that's that in itself is just orchestrating greatness. And if a team or a college athlete can take what they've learned from that. And then transfer it into their school or their life after. I mean, you're national championship on and off the field then.
There you go. I mean, Nick Saban, he's great. Yeah, give it up for awesome. That, guys. All right. We got two quick ones. We're running out of time. Quick ones.
I'm talking too much.
Ryan. No, you're good. You're good. Ryan, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports. And what's your question?
I'm good. My question for you is being recruited as a big-time football guy, what were you looking for in schools and what made your final decision to go to MSU? What made that decision for you?
Big thing I was looking for is I've always saw college with dorm life and being able to just be a student, a kid. And Michigan State has the best after class experience in the country. And you're only going to play football for the first 3-4 months of your college year, and then the rest you're a student. You got to go to school here. You have to live here. And knowing that, I didn't want to just come because the football team was great, but you have to live here. And I wanted to be in a college atmosphere, a college student, because not only are you a football player, but you're a student. So just like all the students do student things, you want to be a student. So, yes, Dan, I wanted to come here to be a student.
Exactly why I came here, all right? Again, to get involved with New World Flood, visit newworldflood.org. Thanks a lot, Todd, TJ Ducker, for joining me again. He is such a great guy, so down to earth and humble. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back to Current Sports, we still have to get to our current sports headliners. We will have to, it's a lot that happened. All right, a lot of stuff that happened, including an interesting story at OU University. We'll update you on that and also, of course, have Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports is coming right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, TGIF, I tell you, it's been a long week. That was actually fresh air. That's fresh air coming up at 3 o'clock, okay? Fresh air, folks. All right, well, you know what? It's been a pretty great show so far. We had Damon Rensing, head coach of the MSU men's soccer team. Of course, they are in the NCAA tournament, take on Louisville this Sunday at 1 o'clock in the second round of the NCAA tournament. We had him at the top of the hour, and you just heard my sit-down with Todd T.J. Duckett, former MSU and pro running back, played for four different teams in the NFL, was a great running back here at Michigan State University. Heard my sit-down with him on Current Sports TV last night. Again, if you want to check out that episode, just go to video.wkar.org. There you can see all of the Current Sports episodes we've done so far. We've done 11 so far. Man, time is flying by. I can't believe we're already 11 episodes into Current Sports TV. But they're all right there. Guests from Mo Pete, Joanne Gerstner. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Al Slammer of Holt High School. I mean, so many great guests, so many great moments, and you can check them all out on video.wkar.org. Check it out, folks. All right, well, let's get to your headliners on this November 22nd, 2013. All right, Oakland University basketball teammates Duke Mondi and Dante Williams had a woman in their hotel room last week when Oakland was in Los Angeles. Now, after the woman left, she called 911, yes, to say she had been sexually assaulted. Now, the two players were handcuffed, booked, and held for 21 hours. Now, the L.A. County District Attorney declined to press charges, so the players were released. Now, Mondi and Williams were suspended for two games for violating curfew, but they have been reinstated. Mondi was a captain, and head coach Greg Campy took it away from him because he set such a horrible example to the young players on the team. Campy said, quote, "It's about making decisions." Now, the players made themselves available to the media on Thursday afternoon after practice, which was pretty surprising. Some programs, you know, would just try to hide the players and shield them from the media. But Campy said, quote, "They wanted to do this." Now, both players admitted to making mistakes and bad decisions. They said they accepted full responsibility, that they would not offer specifics about what happened in that hotel room. Mondi said they wanted to clear their names. Now, Campy was sitting just a few feet away, and he held them to the fire. He said they can't clear their names. He said they can clear their names. He said they were using the wrong phrase because they did do something wrong. Interesting. All right. Now, Campy went on to say, quote, "In December, after their exams are over, we are here. All that free time they would normally have, they're not going to have. There are going to be workshops set up. We're going to have police officers come in and explain and talk to them." Now, this is what Campy said is going to go down. He said they're going to start at the basics, how to treat women with respect, teach the players to open doors for women, teach them how to offer a woman their seat when she is standing. Campy wanted to say, quote, "It's going to be old school etiquette." That's admirable stuff. So Greg Campy is going to hold these workshops for them and, you know, teach them how to be a gentleman, so to speak. So there you have that. So no presses were charged. No charges were pressed, I mean. And, you know, Mondi and Williams, they, you know, just made a bad decision having a woman in their hotel room. That's when Oakland was in L.A. And we'll see what comes of this. That's interesting stuff there. All right. Calvin Johnson, a.k.a. Megatron. Folks, he now has a Transformers action figure of his own. That's courtesy of Nike and Hansbro. Now, Nike, which sponsors Johnson Shoes, and Hansbro, which created Transformers, they collaborated for the Nike CJ81 Megatron Trainer Max, which is a purple and red shoe that has a matching Megatron Decepticon action figure. Now, this is a first for Calvin Johnson. He said he had action figures as a kid, but never any Transformers. Now, after sharing his nickname with one of the characters, he has an action figure too. Johnson went on to say he never thought this would happen. The Transformer is actually part of a 3-shoe package for Nike, which will have the Trainer Max, the Megatron Nike Air Trainer SC2, and the Nike CJ81 Megatron Elite TD cleat. So there you have that. Megatron has his own action figure, his own shoes now. Deservingly so. He is the best wide receiver in the game of football right now. Now, Nike is selling a limited edition Megatron Rises 3-pack featuring all 3 shoes and the action figure. There are 81 of them being made available for sale. Fittingly, right? You know, 81 is number. Yeah, there you go. That's pretty cool stuff. All right. Prince Fielder talked. He has spoken, folks. One day after the Detroit Tigers traded the 29-year-old first baseman to the Texas Rangers, Fielder said he approved of the trade. Texas was originally among the teams on his no-trade clause because he thought the Rangers were, quote, another good team. Now, the Rangers finished 91-72 last season, which was second in the AL West before losing in a tiebreaker game against the Tampa Bay Rays for the chance to move on to the AL wild card game. Fielder said of Wednesday's trade, quote, I thought it would be good for everyone. There you have that. Now, the Tigers swap Fielder and $30 million for second baseman Ian Kinsler, who's 31 years old, a move that adds flexibility financially on and off the field for Detroit. So there you go. There you go. They needed that. I tell you, he was taking up a lot of that's just a lot of moolah. You're talking about $214 million, folks. Wow, that's unbelievable. All right, the number one team in the country will try to bounce back from two lackluster home efforts tonight, as MSU squares off against Virginia Tech at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, BK, New York. Now, the 3-1 Hokies have won 3 in a row after dropping their opener to the Spartans, the South Carolina Upstate Spartans, that is. MSU will be looking for a more energetic performance after 2 lethargic home victories and a major conference opponent at an NBA arena just might do the trick. Virginia Tech is 4-7 all-time versus number one team, so the program has experience as a giant killer. The winner of the game will face the winner of the Oklahoma Seton Hall game on Saturday in the championship round of the Coaches versus Cancer Classic. And I tell you, they're pretty excited. Here's some thoughts before tonight's tip-off with MSU and VA Tech at the Barclays Center in New York.
They're scoring almost 95 points a game. Way different team than last year, to be honest with you. I'm a little surprised because I looked at last year's team. I didn't realize they had a couple guys sitting out. And they had... I think they have 1 junior college, so it's a completely different team. They had about 2 or 3 starters last year that aren't playing right now, meaning because they're subs or they're not even playing as subs. So it's a different team. It's a very athletic team. It's a team that can score the ball, and they're big. I mean, they have a 6'8 forward. It's really good, and then they have power forward at 6'8 or 9, a center at 6'9, one at 6'11. So a lot of big teams for some reason this year.
I mean, they're an athletic team. They're looking out to get out to run. You know, they're going to put up a lot of shots, and they have a high-powered offense. And, you know, we're going to have to be ready for them on the defensive end.
They have a lot of great guards, you know, that can make things happen out on the perimeter, in the half court as well as in the full court, you know. So we just have to do a good job of packing it in and kind of trying to eliminate some of those shots that they've been getting in their previous games.
Barclays, new arena. You know, I've never been to New York in my life. So, I mean, I'm looking to enjoy the total experience being out there for a few days.
I'm just looking forward to seeing what the atmosphere is like. You know, we previously played in the United Center, which was great. So I'm looking forward to, and I've never been to Brooklyn before. So, I mean, that's another, something else that I can add to my list of things that I did in my life. So, I mean, it should be great. You know, we have the opportunity of a lifetime, and, you know, we just got to make the most of it.
There you go, Brooklyn, BK, New York. MSU and VA Tech will square off tonight. And, you know, if you didn't know, Aaron, our engineer here at Current Sports, his brother lives in Brooklyn, right? Your brother lives in Brooklyn. Yeah, that's pretty dope stuff. So, you know, Matt and I were talking. If we need to go to Brooklyn, we know where to stay. There we go. All right, Michigan bounced back from their first loss of the year at Iowa State and drained 14 three-pointers. Yes, 14. That's just unconscious. To beat Long Beach State 85-61 in their opening game of the Puerto Rico tip-off in San Juan. Now, Nick Stauskas, he led the way with 24 points for Michigan, which led by 13 at the half. The Wolverines' 14-3 set a tournament record, and they held off late, a late Long Beach State rally to secure the W. Now, their road gets significantly tougher today when they square off against 4-0 Florida State, who beat number 10 VCU 85-67. Tip-off is set for 5 p.m. this afternoon. Yes, you know that Puerto Rico time, so it's probably dark there, but, you know, 5 p.m. tip-off today. All right, college basketball's rich just keeps getting richer. Less than a week after top five prospects Jahil Okafor and Tyus Jones committed to Coach K and Duke, another highly touted player has pledged allegiance to the Duke Blue Devils. Justice Winslow, yes, the number 14 overall prospect in next year's crop of talent, joined Okafor and Jones to cement Duke's status as the top dog in the 2014 recruiting world. Okafor and Jones are ranked numbers 1 and 4, respectively, and are also joined by number 24 Grayson Allen, giving Coach K one of his most highly touted classes ever. Winslow is rated the 5th best small forward in the class and chose Duke over the likes of Arizona, UCLA, Stanford, and Texas A&M. They're going to be, wow, they're going to be good. All right, the New Orleans Saints face the Atlanta Falcons Thursday night in an NFC divisional rivalry, and Drew Brees threw a pair of touchdown passes. Thanks, Drew, you're on my fantasy team. In the first half to lead the Saints for a 17-13 victory last night, Brees threw a 44-yard touchdown pass to Jimmy Graham and a one-yarder to Benjamin Watson, giving the first-place Saints a sweep of the season series against the Falcons. Atlanta dropped its fifth straight, clinched its first losing season since 2007, and was officially eliminated from the division race with 5 weeks left. Tough news for Atlanta there. All right. A Florida state attorney interviewed the accuser in the Jameis Winston sexual assault allegation. The woman, who says Winston sexually assaulted her at an off-campus apartment on December 7, 2012, was a fellow FSU student, but withdrew from classes after details of the incident were released to media. Now, Winston's attorney said his client had sex with the woman, but that it was absolutely consensual. If Winston is charged with a felony, he will be suspect to immediate suspension from the team. Now, Winston is a redshirt freshman from Alabama and a leading Heisman Trophy candidate, and has guided the Seminoles to a number 2 ranking and a 12-0 start. He is expected to start Saturday at home against Idaho. So, man, we'll see how that one pans out. All right, in sad news in the world of sports, Michael Weiner, the labor lawyer who took over as head of the baseball's players union and smoothed its relationship with management, he sadly died Thursday, 15 months after announcing he had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. The Major League Baseball Players Association said the 51-year-old Weiner died at his home in New Jersey. This is from Pittsburgh's Andrew McCutcheon. He tweeted, "Michael Weiner worked even through his sickness. He didn't look at it as an excuse to quit. He never gave up on us, even when at his worst." Former Big League All-Star Tony Clark took over Thursday as acting executive director and is to be approved as Weiner's successor. Also, Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig called Michael a, quote, "gentleman, a family man, an extraordinarily talented professional who earned the trust of his membership and his peers." There you have it, Michael Weiner. He died Thursday, 15 months after announcing he had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. He was 51 years old. Well, those are your current sports headliners on this November 22nd, 2013. If you want to comment on any of those, give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. And, of course, we're taking your calls. We have about 10 minutes left in the show. We're taking your calls throughout this entire show because it's Friday and we're getting your game predictions on any of the weekend sporting action that's taking place. If you want to call in and give us a prediction, you will automatically be entered with a chance to win 2 MSU Minnesota home football tickets. That game takes place on November 30th of this month. All right, well, in the meantime, we got NFL pick'ems, and I tell you what, I'm praying that Alex and I have, you know, created some separation. I'm ahead of Alex right now. I believe, Matt, do you got the rundown for us? I want to know. I'm anxious right now to see how this week is panning out for me.
Well, Al, you're in luck.
I am.
But not that much luck. You are one up on Alex.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What is your score right now?
I've still got a 4-point lead.
Oh, man, I got to make some headway.
We all took the Saints yesterday.
See, that's the thing. We all choose the same pick sometimes, and it's just, you know.
I mean, some of them are just obvious.
Yeah, they're just obvious, so you got to do it.
You got to go with your gut. Let's hit the NFL slate this weekend
Big
now.
Big week.
Woo. We all took the Pistons and Hawks splitting the two games this week, so we're all banking on the Pistons bouncing back from the other night's loss.
Yep.
We also took the Nets over the Pistons on Sunday. Let's dive into the NFL, though. Let's start out with the team that just beat the Lions, the Pittsburgh Steelers, visiting the Cleveland Browns.
Alex?
Going with Cleveland this week. No way they do it 2 in a row. No way.
No way, huh?
Cleveland's good, man.
No way, Jose. Cleveland is a very decent team. They're both 4-6. You know what? I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
You're going to take Pittsburgh?
I'm going to take some chances here. I'm going to take some chances. Give me Pittsburgh.
Maybe that fake field goal stuff propels them to a nice second half of the season. We'll see.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. That's tough. I think I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well, actually.
There we go.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Let's go with Pittsburgh. All right, next up, the Detroit Lions are hosting the 2-8 Tampa Bay
Buccaneers. This is easy. I think we're all choosing the Lions.
They got this.
Yeah, the Buccaneers are just so bad. Oh, and they have not won a road game yet either. So I'm going with the Lions.
I don't know if it's a cakewalk for the Lions here.
You don't think it's going to be a cakewalk?
Not at all. They just got beat by 10 to the Steelers.
Yeah, it is. They didn't play the Steelers.
It's not like they're coming in hot.
But this is the Buccaneers here. I mean, this is just Tampa Bay is bad, man.
I do not think they're that bad.
I think they're terrible.
No, they're not
I think
bad.
They're horrible.
I don't think they're that bad.
Really? 2-8 team is not that bad.
They're better than the Falcons.
Come on, man.
They're better than the Jaguars.
I think the Buccaneers are the worst team in the league.
You are wrong.
Other than, okay, Jaguars too. Jaguars as well.
They just beat the tar out of the Falcons a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Falcons are worse than
they are. They're on a two-game winning streak.
But we all know. Lions in this one. Okay.
Thank you. All right. Lions. I'm going to take the Lions too. All right. Next up, Minnesota at Green Bay. I think we all know this
Give
one
me, yeah, I mean, I'm going with Green Bay. I'm going to go with Green Bay in this one.
Green Bay. I know Rodgers is limping, but and he's not playing. But I still think they'll get it done.
Man, I wonder if he's going to be ready in time for that Thanksgiving game. I don't know.
That's the question on everybody's
mind. That's the money question right there.
I'm going to take the Packers. They may be missing Aaron Rodgers, but they at least still
their
have
defense.
Talented players around them. And the Vikings are terrible. They might be one of the worst teams in the league.
They're not worse than the Buccaneers, though.
Hell,
I'm telling
have
you.
Have you been watching the Buccaneers?
The Buccaneers.
Yeah, I think
lately,
you're looking at the record.
I'm looking at the beginning of the season. They lost like what 9 straight.
Look
games.
At how many close games they lost.
Oh,
okay. It's not like they're getting
and they
blown
went to
off
overtime.
The field.
Yeah, but still, they're.
Are you
bad.
Going to say MSU
they're
was bad last
and,
year? Because
all that
went
matters
6-6?
Is what you do on the field. If you get the W, you get the loss. They've got too many losses. They're bad.
I just feel like when you're splitting hairs amongst 2-8 teams, I don't
we
know
said
if
that.
They come out at the bottom. I just
they're near it. The bottom. They're near the
they're
bottom.
They're near
of the
bottom. That's a given.
Right
but I don't think they're the worst team in the league by any stretch. Okay, let's keep going. San Diego at Kansas City. Can the Chiefs bounce back from their first loss of the year?
I think they do. I think they do. Yeah, give me the Chiefs.
All right.
Alex? I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think they're going to drop another one.
You go with the Chargers.
Yes.
Chargers play people tough. I think Kansas City's defense is too good, though. I'm going to take the Chiefs at home. Next up, we've got the Chicago Bears at the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bears.
Taking the Bears?
I don't know. This one might be a close one.
I think it would. I think that one can be. Yeah,
I'm going to go with the Rams on this one.
You take the Rams?
Yeah.
I think I'm taking the Rams, too. Their defense is solid. They play well at home. And the Bears have literally no defenders left. I don't know if they have enough players to field a defense.
It's a walking hospital.
So I'm going to take St. Louis at home in that one. Next up, Carolina, fresh off their Monday night win, controversial Monday night win, Miami, the other controversial team.
I think that'll be an interesting game as well. I'm going with the Panthers, though. I'm riding that Cam Newton
I'm on the
train.
Tannehill train, man.
Oh, gosh.
Slash Henny Train when he gets in.
Henny? Henny's in Jacksonville, Alex.
Yeah, that's in Jacksonville. Oh, that's right. That's right. In Jacksonville.
Old school Henny.
Old school Henny.
Old school Henny. Yeah, I'm going to take Carolina as well. Cam Newton and their defense. That's a tough combo
to beat.
Pretty
good, man.
New York Jets. Alex, this is your team. You're the only person, I think, who's had a good feel
didn't
for
we
the Jets.
Didn't we all choose the Jets last week? I feel like we did.
No.
We
Alex. No, Alex picked like the game correctly.
And chose the Jets.
I know there was a week where everyone thought they were going to win, and they lost, and
Alex
picked them.
They played the Bills. Let me just say this. I have an inside scoop because two of my very close friends are from New York and are Jets fans. So probably weekly and bi-weekly, I have a pretty good feel on how the Jets are doing. This week in this game, let me just say this. If you're trying to pick the Jets this week, you better have insurance because there's no way they're winning this week. Let me just say that.
I love it. It's Alex Shark. We gotta cut that.
You better have insurance.
Alex Shark's greatest quotes. That goes in the barrel right there.
So I'm taking that as you picking Baltimore, Alex?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's no chance they win. Literally.
They've
no
alternated wins and losses every single game this season.
They have. Yeah.
One of the only teams to
do
that.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? Let me change my. You know what?
What
did I say? Give me the Jets.
You gotta trust me on this one.
I'm going with the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going with the Jets.
Better have that rap ready, man.
I'm gonna trust Alex. I don't know why.
Inside scoop.
But I'm gonna take Baltimore. All right, here we go. This is two of the worst teams in the league, Al. Jacksonville at Houston.
I'm not even gonna be watching that game at all.
I don't think anybody
CBS.
Is.
Give me the Texans. Going with Houston.
Go Texans. Texans.
Texans are in turmoil, but the Jags are just awful.
Everything's bigger now. They're going to be excited. They got another big boy left-handed bat now. They'll carry over the football. They'll be ready. They're excited over there.
Yeah, Alex, you just
the Prince Fielder mania spills into Houston. I love it. All right. That's all three of us. We're taking the Texans. Let's move on. Tennessee at Oakland. Matt McGloin.
Yeah, Matt sequel. McGloin, yeah. Man, that's a tough one, man. Give me the Titans. Go with the Titans.
Titans.
Yep.
I just don't have enough confidence to take the Raiders. I wish I did, but I don't, so.
I'm going with the Titans. Oh.
Give me the Titans. All right, Indy at Arizona. This is a good game.
Good game.
I think that'd be a really good game. Give me the Colts, though.
I'm feeling lucky, man. Feeling lucky.
Going with the Colts?
Yeah.
All right.
I really want to take the Cardinals at home.
Take them.
So I'm going to.
We need some separation here. I got to catch up. I'm gunning for Matt. I need to catch up with Matt.
Everybody's gunning for me. Yeah. All right. Let's go. Dallas at the New York Football Giants.
Give me the Broncos. I mean, hold on. I'm thinking of the wrong game here. Give me Dallas.
I mean, you could take the Broncos.
I'm going to take the Broncos over the Patriots. I thought we were going to go Broncos and Patriots here, but give me Dallas. And I'm going to take the Broncos over the Patriots as well.
Okay.
I'll take Dallas and I'll also take the Broncos.
So I'm rushing now because we've got 2 minutes left.
I'm going to take the Broncos. So that makes three of us. And then, oh, man. Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys just for the strategy's sake. All right. And then San Francisco at Washington to wrap things up on Monday night.
Washington.
Can San Francisco actually? I mean, the disappointment every week. Do you still have Colin Kaepernick on your team?
I dropped him.
I'm done with Colin Kaepernick.
He's on my team, but that's only because
I dropped him.
I just have a terrible inability to pick a quarterback that stays healthy for more than a week. So
I picked up Nick Foles.
I just feel like one of these weeks he's going to bounce back.
Yeah, you feel. I've been saying that all season. I felt that way all season too.
He kept starting. He's not going to be.
But
this
now
bad.
Vernon Davis isn't healthy.
Yeah,
they have no one to throw to.
I know.
Michael Crabtree is still out.
Defense is pretty solid.
But even though all those things are true, I'm going to take San Francisco. Alex, who you got?
I'm taking Washington.
Look at Alex Smith doing his thing, and it's just crazy. It's an interesting situation. All right. Really quick, guys. Favorite moment of the week? We got 30 seconds. Just say when.
Tie between Andre Hudson and Jake Chelios.
Boom.
I like Todd, man.
Todd was great, wasn't he? Mine had to be. Todd was so cool. I have to go with Todd. I like Jake, though. Jake was great. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Sharp, Matt Lucky, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf. Thanks to Todd Duckett and also Damon Rensing. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, WKR East Lansing, WKR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic and safe weekend. And as always, be easy, people.